The Darwin Conversion Story by Robert C. Newman. Brief summary. This talk investigates a story that has been circulating since about 1915 that Darwin was interviewed near the end of his life and said things that suggested he might have become a Christian. For nearly a century, a story has circulated in various tracts and books that Charles Darwin became a Christian late in his life. According to the story, a Christian Englishwoman, Lady Hope, visited Darwin and found him reading his Bible enthusiastically. When asked about his theory of evolution, Darwin is reported to have said that these were his unformed ideas as a young man, and that people had made a religion out of them. It would be great if it turned out that Darwin found Jesus as a savior before he died. But is the story true? What can we find out about it? Who is Lady Hope? Did she ever have this conversation? That's what we want to consider here. Tracking down the story. The tracts generally mention Lady Hope as the narrator of the incident. A number of them mention that the story was given at Northfield on August 15, 1915, and that was later published in the Watchman Examiner. Up until 1991, none of the recent investigators had ever seen the original story. In the summer of 1991, I found the original account in the Library of Congress. It turns out that the Watchman Examiner was a National Baptist newspaper issued weekly from Boston and New York since 1819, and that the Library of Congress has a nearly complete run of this paper. The account appears in the issue of August 19th, 1915, as follows. And here I give you a photographic picture of the actual article as it appeared. I've removed the rest of the stuff that was on the page, but this is a straight scan of the page. And then since this is rather fine print, I will walk through it with you here in the following panels. Darwin and Christianity by Lady Hope. It was one of those glorious autumn afternoons that we sometimes enjoy in England when I was asked to go in and sit with the well-known Professor Charles Darwin. He was almost bedridden for some months before he died. I used to feel, when I saw him, that his fine presence would make a grand picture for our Royal Academy, but never did I think so more strongly than on this particular occasion. He was sitting up in bed, wearing a soft embroidered dressing gown of a rather rich purple shade. Propped up by pillows, he was gazing out on a far-stretching scene of woods and cornfields, which glowed in the light of one of those marvelous sunsets which are the beauty of Kent and Surrey. His noble forehead and fine features seemed to be lit up with pleasure as I entered the room. He waved his hand toward the window as he pointed out the scene beyond, while on the other hand he held an open Bible, which he was always studying. "What are you reading now?" I asked, as I seated myself by his bedside. "Hebrews," he answered. "Still Hebrews. The royal book, I call it. Isn't it grand?" Then placing his finger on certain passages, he commented on them. He made some allusion to the strong opinions expressed by many persons on the history. I made some allusion to the strong opinions expressed by many persons on the history of the creation, its grandeur, and then their treatment of the earlier chapters of the book of Genesis. He seemed greatly distressed. His fingers twitched nervously, and a look of agony came over his face as he said, "I was a young man with unformed ideas. I threw out queries, suggestions, wondering all the time over everything, and to my astonishment, the ideas took like wildfire. People made a religion of them." Then he paused, and after a few more sentences on the holiness of God and the grandeur of this book, looking at the Bible which he was holding tenderly all the time, he suddenly said, "I have a summer house in the garden, which holds about 30 people. It is over there," pointing through the open window. "I want you very much to speak there. I know you read the Bible in the villages. Tomorrow afternoon I should like the servants on the place, some tenants, and a few of the neighbors to gather there. Will you speak to them?" "What shall I speak about?" I asked. "Christ Jesus," he replied in a clear, emphatic voice, adding in a lower tone, "and his salvation. Is not that the best theme? And then I want you to sing some hymns with them. You lead on your small instrument, do you not?" A wonderful look of brightness and animation on his face as he said this I shall never forget. For he added, "If you take the meeting at 3 o'clock, this window will be open, and you know that I am joining in with the singing." How I wished I could have made a picture fine old man and his beautiful surroundings on that memorable day. In a bracket at the end of the article, we have this. At one of the morning prayer services at Northfield, Lady Hope, a consecrated Englishwoman, told the remarkable story printed here. It was afterward repeated from the platform by Dr. A.T. Robertson. At our request, Lady Hope wrote the story out for the Watchman Examiner. It will give the world a new view of Charles Darwin. We should like the story to have the widest publicity. Our exchanges are welcome to the story, provided credit is given to the Watchman Examiner and marked copies are sent to us, the editor. Well, this article was preceded by a four-page report on the 1915 Northfield Conference, a summer conference held in the grounds of Northfield Seminary, a girls' school in Massachusetts, founded by Dwight Moody. The conference ran from July 30 to August 15 that year, and Lady Hope gave this testimony at one of the morning prayer meetings, date not specified. Library of Congress received its copy on August 19th, so the report was in print only a few days after the conference ended. Background of the story. So far as we know, this story was thus first circulated in the United States some 33 years after Darwin's death in the spring of 1882. Since this is also long after Darwin's wife Emma died in 1896, there is no merit to the suggestion that Emma invented this story. Who is this Lady Hope? Well, several researchers have now made it clear that Lady Hope was Elizabeth Reed Cotton, shown in this picture taken a few years after the alleged interview. She was born in 1842, married Admiral Sir James Hope in 1877, becoming Lady Hope. He died in 1881, and she would have been recently widowed when her meeting with Darwin allegedly took place. Lady Hope was a prolific writer, mostly on devotional themes and perhaps Christian charity themes, with some 30 items dating from 1876 to 1909 listed in the British Museum General Catalog of Printed Books and the U.S. National Union Catalog. She and some Christian friends began a ministry to lower-class families in Sussex, beginning with Bible studies for girls, and eventually leading to coffee houses as substitute for the pubs where working men had been ruining their families through drink. See her book, Our Coffee Room, 1876. I suspect it was this sort of work that led to the reported meeting with Darwin, as the context suggests she may have been seeking a meeting place in the neighborhood. Is the story true? Lady Hope is the only one who has reported this incident, so we have no direct corroboration. Other information about Darwin his last months, including some correspondence, does not suggest that he made any dramatic changes at this time, and we know from other material that he had been gradually sinking into an agnosticism and moving away from Orthodox Christianity. James Moore and Paul Marston have probably done the most thorough research on this topic in Moore's book, The Darwin Legend, and Marston's article, Charles Darwin and the Christian Faith, the latter available on the Internet. Both of these listed in our bibliography at the end of this talk. Is the story true? It seems to me that we have about four alternatives. One, the whole story is fiction. Two, the event occurred, but Lady Hope exaggerated some of the features. Three, the event occurred as reported, but Darwin was trying to put Lady Hope off and gave a more Christian-sounding response than he actually believed. Four, Darwin did become a Christian, but this was covered up by his family. Let's look at each alternative. One, the story is entirely fiction. This is a claim of Henrietta, Darwin's daughter, who was with him in his dying days, and also of Francis, Darwin's son. But this story is actually set some months earlier than his dying days, at a time when Henrietta and Francis were not present. Moore notes that a number of the details have the ring of truth, and Marston has shown connections between the Darwin family and Lady Hope, that Lady Hope's childhood home was not far from Down, and that she would probably have been there after her recently being widowed. The second alternative is that the story is true but exaggerated. Moore thinks that Lady Hope may have intentionally or unintentionally exaggerated the incident. The incident, after all, occurred nearly 34 years before the Northfield narration. The incident is set in the fall, presumably before Darwin's death, so probably the fall of 81, versus the narration in the summer of 1915. Lady Hope, by the time of the narration in 1915, would now be nearly 73 years old. And for those of us who are starting to get up there, it is clear that one's memory sometimes goes downhill as one gets old. And she may have elaborated some statements that were more non-committal in Darwin's actual statements. A third alternative is that Darwin was putting her on. Lady Hope was a noted evangelical, even an evangelist of some sort, connected with Church of England. Darwin was very averse to confrontation. One reason, at least, why he let Huxley and others do that sort of thing for him. though Darwin admired the work of Christianity among the poor, he would have no desire to be evangelized himself. His earlier theological training, he basically had what we would call an MDiv today, his earlier theological training would easily have equipped him to be able to use Christian jargon and to expound briefly on the letter to the Hebrews. Fourth alternative, Darwin became a Christian. This is possible, but it's not supported by any of the other evidence we have of Darwin's last years and months, in which he comes across as an agnostic or at most a deist. See his autobiography and his correspondence for details on this. Conclusions. I would guess that alternatives 2 and 3, that Lady Hope may have exaggerated some features or misremembered them, and 3, that Darwin may have given a more positive impression than actually described his internal mental states, are the most likely ones, or even a combination of these two. There's no reason why both of these might not have been going on. We are probably not going to gain certainty on this matter until the Last Judgment. Further information, consult the bibliography in the next panel. And for further reading, I recommend the book by David Herbert, Charles Darwin's Religious Views, 1919. The article itself, Lady Hope, Darwin, and Christianity in the Watchman Examiner, series 3, 19 August 1915, page 1071. Paul Marston, Charles Darwin and the Christian Faith, and here I give you the web address for that, but it's longish, so you'll need to look at it on the panel. James Moore, The Darwin Legend, book 1994. My own article, Robert C. Newman, The Darwin Conversion Story and Update, published in the Creation Research Society Quarterly, 1992. That'd be volume 29, pages 70 through 72. That's also available on the web at the Biblical Theological Seminary website. I think if you type Darwin Conversion and on Google or something, you will pick that up. And then W. Rush and J. W. Klotz did Charles Darwin Become a Christian, a pamphlet, 1988, that reprints 3 of their articles in the Creation Research Society Quarterly. Well, that's the end. Did Darwin become a Christian? I think not. Did this interview occur? I believe it did, and probably is pretty accurately reported by Lady Hope.